healthier food for public schools and for families. And we'll start with that video. No coming attractions, so. Though.
No.
There's no sound.
Carla will help you.
We've been fortunate this year. University of Oregon donated their donated space at the White Stag Building to us, and included in the space was Peter Gunn, their AV guy. So we've become quite reliant on other people taking care of us.
These children, helping mother pick vegetables, get many kinds of nourishment. Fresh air, sunshine, vegetables, eggs too.
Growing Garden's mission is simply to promote food security for limited income households, individuals, families, communities here in Portland. And we do that through working with youth in an elementary school, doing youth programs, after school programs, and summer camps. And then we also work with families and apartment complexes to build urban backyard home gardens.
You stick your finger in the soil. And if you go back out in the water as deep as your finger is wet, then you can wind up.
Well-nurtured children become healthy and happy grown-ups. An abundant and properly balanced diet, plus plenty of sunlight and play, and a due portion of the milk of human kindness.
I was raised with a really healthy respect of the environment and the earth, and that the earth is where things come from. We also experience long periods of poverty and just like in food insecurity. As definitely someone who growing up had eaten out of food boxes numerous times. We'd been on food stamps before, and luckily I had the initial experience of having really healthy food in my life when I was really young, but also experienced the other end of the spectrum of knowing what was healthy to eat but not having access to it.
It tastes better. Sometimes it tastes more fresher than when you get it at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm. The zucchini, it grows right here and it needs a lot of water and sun.
Because the zucchini reminds me of a cucumber, and a cucumber is my favorite vegetable.
Of course, it's really important to have youth. You know, starting early with them and having it be something that is natural and easy and fun for them to do is a huge part of having them do that when they're older. Same as reading and writing and learning how to ride a bike and all of those things. And as we know, food prices have increased over the past year in particular, and then over the past couple of decades as fuel prices go up.
I think that cities could really promote urban gardening by making space available for community gardens. If there's open space that's not being used, I think the city really should be saying, hey, let's turn this into a community garden plot. Interesting story of one of our home gardeners who enrolled a few years ago. Is we were doing an outreach table at a farmer's market, and she and her children were there at the farmer's market, and we were giving out free seed packets. So they picked up a packet of cucumber seeds and went home and just found open space in their yard to plant them. And they didn't realize how many cucumbers one plant would make, so they planted the entire packet and ended up with hundreds and hundreds of cucumbers. So during the summer, their kids went out and picked the cucumbers and took them to a little produce market in their neighborhood and sold them to the produce market, which inspired them to want to continue gardening. So they called us the following fall and told us that story and that they want to enroll in the program. another yard is full of plants, and they have fruit trees, and their kids are all about gardening, and they're selling produce to the produce market, and it's been very exciting for them.
We must see to it that the boys and girls in our homes and on our playgrounds have the inexpensive yet priceless advantages these youngsters have had, and are thus well fitted to take their places in the ranks of those who do the everyday work of the world, the work on which our national welfare depends.
That's great.
So when students showed up, and this year we tried something new. We recruited students who are politically engaged, and Portland Community Media then trains and gives the media skills to them, and our second film.
So before you start, yes. Can I ask, Phil, at the end of the video, there were the woman, the words of the woman. Was that Eleanor Roosevelt? Yeah. Oh, okay. Just curious.
We'll have to look for the DVD extra scenes. Okay. Christine.
Commissioner Leonard used to hang out with Eleanor.
That was just mean. But if I could have, I certainly would have.
So would have I. What's next?
Christine will introduce it.
My name is Christine Lai, and I go to Oberlin College, where I'll be a senior in the fall. Every summer, I try to live in a new city or town to really get a sense of a place. And after this summer, I don't think there's a better way to get to know a city than to make documentaries about what a city is doing right. Our film documentary is on people with disabilities and employment. 1 in 5 of every American has a disability, but only 1 in 5 of people with disabilities has a job. And so what Insight, an organization based in Portland, is doing is linking students with disabilities to internships. They don't pity their students, as one of the students in our film says. They expect them to grow up and be taxpayers and citizens. Portland has a great track record on this issue. We first learned of Insight because of a $17,000 grant that the city had given to Insight to start the new program, the YODA that you alluded to in your introduction. And moving forward, my group members are really excited to take our film and to share this model with organizations and city councils in our own hometowns. So thank you for your support and attention to this issue and for supporting our summer in Portland.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Grant Miller, and I am a 20-year-old full-time student at Vassar College.
Hi, I'm Christine Getman. I'm 22 years old and finishing up at Portland State University with my bachelor's in community health education.
I currently work as a student employee for the Portland Development Commission in the Public Affairs Department. I have helped write strategic outreach plans, edited videos, and written press releases.
Right now I have an internship with the Children's Healing Art Project, where I do web promotion, event planning, and hands-on events with the children.
I feel as though what I have to offer are the skills to communicate with the greater Portland area, which qualifies me for your office.
I have a lot of experience working with nonprofit organizations. I think that makes me highly qualified for this position. I was 14 months old. I was diagnosed with a form of muscular dystrophy called spinal muscular atrophy. And basically, the signal telling my muscles to function is limited, so the muscles weaken over time because that signal isn't strong enough. And just over the years, I have had weakening, and my breathing was down for a while, but now I'm in a good spot. Four-wheel drive! My tattoo is a mermaid reaching up and letting go of some flowers. And the joke is that mermaids don't walk either. The flowers mean a lot to me because 3 people passed away in my life, all within the same year. And somehow miraculously each flower really represents who they were and what they were about.
My disability is called arthrogryposis. It's pretty rare. Generally, short distances I walk and longer distances I use a wheelchair. I'm a drama major, and that's my passion. Stop worrying where you're going. Move on. I was the evil dwarf in Narnia the Musical. Never do Narnia the Musical. Greece, I played Teen Angel. I was in the Breakfast Club in college. I played the nerd. And so I'm sort of realizing that a cubicle is not probably where I want to spend the rest of my life, but that's something I'm learning right now.
So Insight's a nonprofit that focuses on helping people with disabilities contribute to society. We do that through education, through employment, through networking and independence.
You can always get past barriers, and if you have a barrier in your way and you're not getting past that, we call that handy crap. Maybe it takes someone coming side by side like Insight to say, here's a barrier, but here's how you can get around that.
I don't believe that there's any one reason that employers aren't necessarily looking for a disabled workforce. I think that there is a component of discomfort that some employers may have in terms of communicating about disability issues. But I think that there's a much larger issue in that most employers are so unaware of the needs of those with disabilities, let alone the fact that a person with a disability could do just as good a job. There's a pretty basic built-in assumption that people with disabilities need, and they need help from other people around them, and they rely on others. And the problem with telling people with disabilities that they are in need is that they then build this intellectual framework that says that they aren't really that empowered.
Insight does change the view of the way people look at people with disabilities, because they don't pity us. They just say, hey, look, you know, these people are going to work. They're going to be taxpayers. They're going to make a difference in society. And I think that's one of the biggest things that they do. They don't feel sorry for us. They don't hand anything to us. You know, we have to hold up our end of the deal.
Then we have one final film. Robin.
That was great. They won't be quiet. They just won't stop.
Hi. My name is Robin Hertz, and I moved here 3 years ago from Montana to attend Reed College, where I'll be a senior this year. And I want to talk to you for a minute about an issue that concerns me very much as a young adult about to graduate from college in the middle of a recession. In the last decade, the median home price in Portland has nearly doubled. And this increase reflects a nationwide trend. For the average American, owning a home is becoming an impossibility. Say you're someone like Kara and David, the couple you're about to see in the next film. You've moved to Portland, you decide you like it here, you want to put down roots and start a family. But buying a home, even in Portland's most affordable neighborhood, is difficult, if not impossible. But luckily for people like Kara and David, there is hope. Proud Ground is a nonprofit here in Portland that basically helps people buy their first home at a price that they can afford. And you might recognize Jesse Beeson, the executive director. And during our interview, Jesse made a good point. He said, sometimes it takes generations to tell the story. It might take many years for the benefits of homeownership to fully play out. But in the long run, it benefits our children and our economy and ultimately builds stronger communities because people who are rooted in their homes are more likely to vote and they're more likely to participate in community organizations. So far, Proud Ground has helped 110 families buy their first homes, and I really hope that you'll support them in the future so that they can continue to make the American dream a reality for the people that they serve. Thank you.
Proud Ground is a nonprofit organization that serves low and moderate income families in Portland, and we help them buy their first home at a price they can afford. Our 100th homeowners, Kara and David, moved into their house last year in 2009 and just had their first son early in April.
It took a while for it to sink in. We signed and yellow pictures and all this stuff, and then we came back here, and well, once we got the keys, came back here, and we're just kind of walking around here going,
oh wow. We have a house.
Our apartment was a closet. It was like 420 square feet. We could have gotten a bigger apartment somewhere else, but I think the main things that made us want to own a home was just that, you know, we wanted to start a family, to really put down roots in Portland since we moved here and we loved it. We knew we wanted to stay.
There are three incredibly crucial things if we really want to talk about solving issues of inequality in this country, and education, opportunity, and stability are those three things. And I really see homeownership as a crucial component of that stability that can lead to greater opportunities in education, greater opportunities in economic fairness.
It's freeing in that sense that we can modify the way that we're living to accommodate other things that we want to do. We have chickens and a small garden out back, and we hang our laundry to dry, so we save on energy, we save on food.
We use it for quesadillas or for beans and baked fish, which is yummy.
One of our most recent employees here is a great illustration of the power of homeownership. Her family, her parents were migrant farm workers who decided to buy a home through a program similar to ours. She was helped out, but went on to earn not just her bachelor's degree, but her master's, and is now in law school. That really shows the power of what stability can do just with one generation.
If we were to stay here forever, we can pass it to our children, and so it's... That's great.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity. Thanks for the support of the various programs that make the documentaries even possible. I mean, again, the students really have had, we started with a menu of 25 ideas of things Portland was doing right. And even getting down just to 25 ideas for them to select from was hard, which says a lot about Portland. So thanks again.
Thank you. Thanks for starting the organization. Appreciate it. Good job. Oh, great. All right. That was a presentation and an excellent one. Thank you all. We're now on the last item for today's afternoon docket. Could you please read the time certain title for council calendar item 1146?
adopt and implement the Hayden Island Plan and amend comprehensive plan map.
All right. This is another continuation of the first hearing. Joe Zinder will do a brief recap of the Hayden Island Plan to date, present the staff recommendations on the waterside condo zoning, the subject of our last hearing's testimony, introduce one technical amendment for the council to vote on, substituting a corrected bike ped path map for the existing one. Due to a noticing issue, council will take testimony on the entire plan. All testimony to date is already part of the record. Mr. Zinder.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm Joe Zinder with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I'm joined by John Gillum from the Portland Bureau of Transportation. Just to remind you what we've already talked about in the previous hearings, the Hayden Island Plan is to implement a concept plan for the island that looks at enhancing Hayden Island as an island community, trying to solve or address the transportation issues that are posed by the island, combining an island location and a major freeway crossing, and also looking at enhancing the island in terms of open space and its environmental quality, given its important sort of location in the Columbia River. In previous hearings, the City Council have adopted a number of amendments, and I just wanted to refresh your memory of these. One was to make it clear that the plan does not endorse a bridge or any other development on West Hayden Island, and this just recaps the amendments, the changes to the text of the plan that were previously voted on. Also, the other amendments were to add Office of Healthy Working Rivers as an implementer, to address the drive-throughs, allow drive-throughs on North Center Avenue, and to address two issues related to the manufacturing home community to extend the period in which you could reestablish it to 15 years and to clarify what the trigger would be for upgrades to nonconforming development. So that's sort of where we are today. At the previous hearing, a specific issue was raised regarding the Waterside Condominium Project, and I'm showing that project with the pointer here. It's this building and an associated marina facility. The marina facility is restricted to the use of the occupants of the condominium project. It's recently developed. It's a very nice project. The owner of the project, a representative of the project, was requesting that City Council not change the zoning as proposed in the plan to from CG, general commercial, to R3. The residential zoning that we proposed matches the development intensity and actually with a little headroom that the project was developed at, and that was sort of an approach that we took throughout the island. The representative of Waterside Condominiums raised an objection to a bike path that was shown on one of the street master plan maps that would show a route along the waterfront of the condominium project. On the issue of the bike path designation, we're proposing an amendment, which would be this replacement Exhibit C, that makes it clear that the routing for the bike paths that are included in the plan do not go across these residential properties located to the east. The Planning Commission actually had a good deal of discussion about not just the waterside condominiums, but all of these residential condominium projects along here, and they're already developed, and it's a very narrow path. And the decision was that in the long run, if they were ever redeveloped, it'd be nice to have a path, but that it was not to be expected as part of the plan. And in fact, Exhibit H, which is in the plan, already shows that it's a pedestrian sort of way only, not a bike path. The amendment by adopting this particular exhibit in substitution of the Exhibit C that was in the previously published plan would make that clear and remove the bike path designation along waterside condominiums. That would solve the issue that Mr. Morrison, the representative of waterside, raised. On the issue of the zoning, The case that was made was a concern for retaining flexibility in case something happened in the future and they wanted to wholesale reconsider the use of that piece of property. Also, a desire to have some minimal amount of retail included in the property, once again, for the purposes of flexibility. Staff would recommend that City Council continue to support the recommendation of Planning Commission to rezone the property from CG to R3, and for several reasons, one of which is the kind of retail that they're talking about for the property is exactly the retail that we're trying to attract to this neighborhood center, which is located just adjacent, or not directly adjacent, but within easy walking distance of the property. Second issue is that to allow a small amount of retail development to be allowed in the R3 is something we could do in a plan district. We could make that customized provision. It would raise two issues. One is sort of a precedent for how you use that particular zoning classification elsewhere in the city, and we have a lot of R3 zoning in the city. So there's a concern that we would not be able to make a clear enough distinction as to why here and why not in some other neighborhood and be back in front of you with this issue again. The second point is that there is other R3 property. If you look at the proposed zoning on the lower map, this property is Waterside Condominium, but all of this light blue here is also R3. And we would face a dilemma of saying, why Waterside, why not everything? If the City Council wanted to, we could go down that path and just make it apply to everything. But that's the dilemma why we think the CG is important. And then the last issue regarding the CG is that the property is newly developed and fully developed as residential. This location is right in the high-impact zone of the existing freeway interchange and potentially the new freeway interchange. And so traffic considerations there are particularly acute for Oregon Department of Transportation. It's a big enough property that it raises an issue, and we'd have to go back through and really sort through whether or not it's the straw that breaks this particular design or proposal in terms of traffic capacity. It poses that risk. A second piece of correspondence that you received regards a different property, and this is all the way on the west end of the island, up against the railroad alignment and the beginning of West Hayden Island. This is called the Canoe Bay property, and as I said, you received correspondence between the last hearing and today, with an objection by the property owner for designation of this piece of land as open space in the concept plan. Now, piece of property itself is shown here in more detail. It's an undeveloped piece of property. It's currently zoned industrial and residential. And on the concept, and it's also within the noise overlay. So in looking at the open space system of the whole island, we saw this as a potential opportunity being on the mouth to this little inlet, being at the west end of the island to also add to the other open space we designated at the far eastern edge of the island as an opportunity site. Being in the concept plan as open space has no impact on the zoning. We left the zoning the way it is zoned today. We left the comprehensive plan designation the way it is today. Really, the point that we were making with showing it in the concept plan was to really identify the few opportunities we found on the island to possibly increase open space, right, to get it on a list that maybe we can use to approach Metro or other sources in the future if acquisition is possible. No change to this would take place without acquisition of the property, and that would be a negotiated sale. So we don't, Planning Commission heard testimony on this and decided that leaving the zoning in place and was sufficient protection for the property, and they did not change the concept plan and let it stay as open space. So those are the two pieces of correspondence that you've heard from, and that's the end of our presentation.
So I got a little, can you go back to the issue of the path? So you're suggesting that, so I see the, classifications there on the bottom right. Does that mean that the path is not designated even as a footpath?
No, it is, Mayor Adams. If you look in the document, Exhibit H, which I don't have a slide of, I apologize, it's got the full classification in there. So those are pedestrian ways. What we've done is broken it out to some are shared.
What page was it?
It's a page 32. So if you see on page 32, Exhibit H, mm-hmm. you've got pedestrian and bicycle connections, the dots. You've got pedestrian connections. So what we did is when we brought the plan forward, we left that segment as a bicycle connection. And the thinking was if it's ever redeveloped, that's when we would consider this. Although the Planning Commission did express a preference to honor the issues raised by the condo owners and just make it a pedestrian connection for now.
And the reason that they did that is that the argument that was impactful to them is the size of the path?
Especially it's not so much on the waterside condominium project, which is here, but these condo projects around the corner.
He's referencing something I can't.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. The waterside condo is here. There's a little more room along the waterfront there, although it is their connection to the marina, but one can conceive of doing it there. But when you get around the corner here, it's very narrow, and the condos are, built right out to the edge, and there is no physical room really to get a multi-use pass in there unless they're redeveloped. The thing about a condominium project is that it's not one owner, it's 120 owners, and so the likelihood of seeing wholesale redevelopment of a whole project like that is a little bit farther out there. So we went for what we thought was more likely to be accomplishable.
So, again, having been out to see this myself, the reason why we can't do a bike path at least to the edge of the Horn is?
I think once you, this is waterside, and this is a different condominium project. It gets pretty narrow in terms of the space, and it's very narrow sort of in this area. And you have the marina traffic there. The Planning Commission actually grappled with this and came to this conclusion that they thought a pedestrian path was the reasonable solution. And
we're comments?
So what then, did it not get translated that way when it came to us? Why was it brought up to us again?
It was. It shows on Exhibit H. It didn't show on the specific bicycle map. So that's the one that we need to amend.
It was just kind of a typo. It was meant. To...
Not exactly. The.
You have to say your name.
My name, John Gillum from PBOT. The master street plan is one guide in terms of looking at new streets, pedestrian, bicycle facilities. But we also have like classification for a bike network and a pedestrian network. And so as an outcome of the Planning Commission, for the master street plan, recognizing the current narrowness of the path and the testimony that was heard, then we amended the master street plan to show that it'd be walking path only. But for the transportation system plan and a longer range aspirational plan, we still had that as a bicycle pathway in front of the condominiums and around Hayden Bay. And so in trying to respond to the hearing the other day, then we are suggesting as an alternative is that even with the longer range transportation system plan, that we keep the pedestrian pathway on the waterfront, and that the bicycle network still gets around the island quite a bit, and then it returns to the local street system at that location.
Thank you. And I had another question about the Canoe Bay letter, which is about the road system, the primary arterial, the neighborhood collector designation that they say is on their property. Can you talk to me about that?
District collector. I'm sorry. Maybe I want to make sure I have your...
It's the Canoe Bay property. Right. There's an existing street. This is Hayden Island Drive that goes out and terminates roughly at the railroad alignment. And portions of this are public and portions of it are private. And it may be that what the letter is claiming is that there's a portion of it out here that's private. The street itself is one of two major streets in the overall concept plan, this one in Jansen Beach Drive down here. So the neighborhood collector classification was appropriate because that's what the local streets feed into to get out to the external system. I don't think it really poses an issue for the property owner, that okay. classification.
The higher
so is it just on the concept plan or is it on the transportation system plan?
On the transportation system plan,
right.
So is that the same kind of thing that we're hoping in the future that we'll get public right-of-way?
Yes. And the neighborhood collector is, a relatively low classification for a street. It wouldn't be a big street. The district collector, which is a little larger street and a little bit higher in function, only goes as far as the regional commercial land uses.
In adopting the transportation system plan designation of a primary arterial or neighborhood collector on this roadway, are we saying that in the future, yes, we want you to use eminent domain to get that right away?
It would more likely be a case of as development opportunity presents itself.
So if the property was to be redeveloped with a use that was going to impact traffic, there would be the city engineer would look at this plan and say, okay, we need a street. And actually, the street that we think we need to at least reserve the right-of-way now to make it a major an arterial, because eventually this will, if there's any development, it could be the end of the road. The city engineer has the right to just get a right-of-way, get a certain level of improvement, or get the full improvement, and they look at the plan at the time to negotiate that.
And how would that be affected if we decide if the future West Hayden Island plan? Decides, or West Hayden Island planning process decides we're not going to develop on West Hayden Island, would we then be locked into having that those roadway improvements?
The designation of neighborhood collector is really intended just for the East Hayden Island.
Right.
It could end at that point if depending on the outcome of the West Hayden Island plan, and there was no intent for this to be a major throughway to West Hayden Island.
Right. It may be a cul-de-sac at that time, if that's really what it turned out to be.
Right now, it provides emergency access
to West Hayden Island.
To West Hayden.
Right.
I still, though, I'm not clear if we're reflecting. So, the last major zoning plan for this piece of land was 40 years ago, maybe?
When it was brought into the city in the 80s, yes, we just basically adopted
so
what
this... 40 years ago that there's any sort of zoning effort, we just transferred in what they gave us.
Correct.
So I don't, and I understand why you want to have the parkland as aspirational, but knowing that this plan might stand for 25 years, I'm not following your line of thinking of why you wouldn't have the bicycle path designation as aspirational as well, knowing that on the ground there isn't enough land or what have you, right of way or passage. Did I misunderstand you, John?
Are you referring now back to the long-range plan in front of the condominiums? And
I'm not always clear what the right words are, but yes.
Okay. We presented this as an option to address the issue. That is why when we came out of Planning Commission, we had the long-range transportation system plan show it as a bicycle facility, recognizing it was still opportunity-based, but from an aspiration standpoint, in the future, this path would ideally become wide enough so it could serve both pedestrians and bicyclists together safely.
You know, we made the case to Planning Commission, and Planning Commission, I think, was persuaded by what's really on the ground now and the lack of the likelihood that that's going to change. But typically, we would use it just like you described, Mayor Adams, to put out there the aspiration.
Well, I look forward to hearing the testimony. I would like the aspiration, as one member of the City Council, to show bicycle access, even though it might never come to pass. I think it's important. This is incredibly unique territory within the city. All right. Any other discussion with these folks? How many people do we have signed up to testify?
We have two people signed up.
All right, let's hear from them.
Good. Come on up. Frank Howard and Tim Helzer.
Is there anyone else here that wishes to testify? We have one more chair. All right. Gentlemen, thanks for your patience and for waiting. We appreciate it.
Oh, I've learned a lot all afternoon.
Well, you're very kind.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Frank Howitt. I'm a resident of Riverhouse Condominiums on Hayden Island, specifically on Hayden Bay. And I've been to open houses and the Planning Commission hearings and now the City Council hearings, and have read the Hayden Island plan. I'm left with considerable uncertainty and nervousness about the issue of private paths on the island. The language in the Hayden Island plan speaks of recommending that the pathways that are be connected into a system of trails, providing viewpoints of the Columbia River and so forth. The path around Hayden Bay is shown in the exhibits of the Hayden Island plan as having a pedestrian pathway. This pathway is private property, part of the deed of our condominium, and I think the other condominiums around Hayden Bay have similar provisions. The paths were created as part of the development of the island by the Hayden Island Corporation, which developed our property, and the various statements I've heard and read in the plan leave me with this uneasiness about the city's takeover or the declaration of the Hayden Bay pathway as a public pathway. It would definitely be harmful to the interests of our condominium to have that pathway declared any kind of a public right-of-way. That's my concern, Mr. Commissioners.
Okay. We'll bring staff up when you're done to get a clarification of that. Thank you. Sir?
Good afternoon. My name is Tim Helzer. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm a resident of Hayden Island. And about 5 years ago, I initiated the Comprehensive Neighborhood Plan for Hayden Island, and I'm delighted to be here to support your adoption of the Hayden Island Plan, hopefully with a minor but important amendment. In the last council hearing on this subject, Mayor, you said that West Hayden Island would not be addressed in the Hayden Island Plan, and yet there continue to be efforts to do just that. Respecting the concerns of others who want a broader discussion of the West Hayden Island issue in the Hayden Island Plan, I request that the compromise amendment be offered that includes the following language. Recognizing the many issues surrounding the future of West Hayden Island, Council has set up the West Hayden Island Community Working Group for stakeholders to consider whether or not development of any portion of West Hayden Island is possible, and will entertain that group's recommendations in future council discussions about that portion of Hayden Island.
Thank you. Why are you offering the amendment?
I'm offering the amendment because I'm concerned that there is so much rancor about West Hayden Island.
Right.
That is there mentioning the Hayden Island plan simply adds to that rancor. And it looks to me that City Council has wisely put together the West Hayden Island Community Working Group to address these kinds of concerns.
Okay.
So to include it in the Hayden Island plan simply asks for more problems.
Okay. Thanks. Let's get started. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate your testimony. I thought we dealt with the necessary amendments so that this document passes, makes no judgment whatsoever on West Hayden Island.
Correct. And this is if we can get this back on, Carl. Thank you. This is the language that we included in the plan to try to make that point clear. if you wanted to, and this deals with making no presumptions about a bridge or other development, and to acknowledge that there is a process that will continue to work on West Hayden Island independent of this. If you wanted to reiterate this language that Mr. Helzer raised, it could be added as a preamble or part of the resolution.
A resolve statement.
Let's do it, but let's just say something to the effect of the Hayden Island plan passes, makes no judgment about the future of West Hayden Island. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Anyone wants to comment on that? Carla, would you please call the roll?
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Good amendment. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Amendment approved. Now, regarding the gentleman who, again, the difference between aspirational versus what's on the ground, can you, for paths in this case, can you speak to that?
Well, yes, if you actually look in the plan on page 22, under the chapter 2, the goal and transportation, we added specific language to make this, because this was a big issue at Planning Commission, and it says on that page, second from bottom paragraph, add an objective Q as follows: implement the Hayden Island street plan to provide new street connections and off-street paths as site development occurs. So it just reiterates actually how we always use these street master plans.
Let's just get a little bit of legislative record on the books, though, as part of this hearing for clarification. So yeah. It remains aspirational.
Correct.
It does not require the condominium sites to deed over, provide public access to path users.
Correct.
Okay. Does that provide you some clarity?
I confess I can't quite hear.
Oh, come. As part of this plan, there is an app, because these plans can remain in force for up to 50 years, more like 25 years usually before they're revisited. There is an aspiration in this plan that public paths would be developed in some of the areas that you're talking about. If some tragedy was to happen and the whole development had to be rebuilt, it would be at that point the aspiration would be noted. And the desire would be that it would be rebuilt so that public paths could be part of the overall redevelopment. But at this point, it's only aspirational. You would not have to allow the public onto paths, to your paths. It does not become public property. It is the status quo.
I'm glad to have that clarified for my benefit.
You got it.
Right.
Thanks.
At least we could do, sir, after you waited 3 hours.
Yeah. Any other issues? So I would like to, the bicycle access aspirational on the books. Just like we talked about aspirational footpath access, I would like it aspirational as bike access. Again, in case something happens in the next 25 years that requires the redevelopment of this, where would I do that? I don't know that I have support on council.
Well, is that a motion, Mayor?
That's a motion.
I second it.
It's been moved and seconded. If you could find the appropriate place.
Yes. I think
you better vote on it first before you find out if you have the votes.
I just wanted to know where it just goes in the book. Cranky pants.
there would be the current.
Well, he's just taking us for granted again.
No, I'm not. I just wanted to know where it was in the. Where it was.
Mayor Adams, to do what you just suggested, we would not make the amendment that we proposed, and it would leave on the existing Exhibit C on page 27 this bike path alignment through the waterfront properties. And then what I would suggest is that you ask or include in it that we amend Exhibit H to match the already adopted Exhibit C, then we got that kind of clarity.
OK. Can we have the legislative record reflect that that is what my motion, which has been seconded, is intended to convey?
What was the question? I'm sorry. I was looking at the required vote.
I thought it was just me.
I thought it was going to be 2-2 here in a minute, and I was trying to make sure I knew what I was going to do.
Hour 9 of this. I'm going to take that as a yes.
Imagine it was the acting chair. Our meetings last about an hour.
I'm going to take that as a yes, attorney. And so it's been moved and seconded, and is there any discussion? And again, aspirational versus what's on the ground. All right, Carla, would you please call the roll?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
I appreciate Commissioner Leonard's attention to detail in requiring a vote. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Let the record show I was always going to ask for a vote. Aye. All right, is there anything else?
No.
Was there an amendment about the actual map itself of the bike?
That was all.
That was just in the last motion.
Can I call the question?
Which you have green-lighted, Counselor.
I believe we're done.
All right. City Council stands adjourned.
Do we have to vote?
Second reading is what we need.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Move to second reading, and City Council stands adjourned until recess till tomorrow, 2 p.m.
Thank you.
You know what? This is great.
Sorry. Oh,